ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
तुमी जहां जहां रहो तहां वृंदावन, तहां जमुना गंगा सर्व तीर्थगण। Dadatha Pandit said, wherever you stay is Vrindavan, as well as the river Yamuna, the river Ganges, and all other places of pilgrimage. Tabu Vrindavan jaho loka shikhaite shito koribe toma jeloi chite. Although wherever you stay is Vrindavan, you will still go to Vrindavan just to instruct people. Otherwise you will do whatever you think best. Purport. It was not essential for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Vrindavan, for wherever he stayed was immediately converted to Vrindavan. Indeed, at that place were also the river Ganges, the river Yamuna, and all other places of pilgrimage. This was also expressed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself when he danced in the Rath Yatra. At that time he said that his very mind was Vrindavan. Moramon Vrindavan. Anya hridoye mon moramon Vrindavan. Because his mind was Vrindavan, all the pastimes of Radha and Krishna were taking place within himself. Nonetheless, just to teach people, he visited Bhuma Vrindavan, Vrindavan Dham, in this material world. In this way, the Lord instructed everyone to visit Vrindavan Dham, which is a very holy place. Materialists consider Vrindavan Dham an unclean city because there are many monkeys and dogs there. And along the bank of the Yamuna, there is refuse. You know what refuse means?
Garbage.
Some time ago, a materialistic man asked me, why are you living in Vrindavan? Why have you selected such a dirty place to live after retiring? Such a person cannot understand that the earthly Vrindavan Dham is always a representation of the original Vrindavan Dham. Consequently, Vrindavan Dham is as worshipable as Lord Krishna. Is someone going to translate? You can understand? Okay. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanyastadhama Vrindavanam. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Lord Sri Krishna and his abode, Vrindavan, are equally worshipable. Sometimes materialistic people who have no spiritual understanding go to Vrindavan as tourists. One who goes to Vrindavan with such materialistic vision cannot derive any spiritual benefit. Such a person is not convinced that Krishna and Vrindavan are identical. Since they are identical, Vrindavan is as worshipable as Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vision, Moramon of Vrindavan, is different from the vision of an ordinary materialistic person. At the Rath Yatra festival, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, absorbed in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, dragged Lord Krishna back to Vrindavan Dhamma. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke of this in the verses beginning, Ahuschate, quoted in Madhya Lila, chapter 13, 1. Text 136. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated, Yasyatma buddhi kunapetri dhatuke swadhi kalatradeshu bhauma idjadhihi yatirta buddhi salile nakarhi jidjaneshvabigneshu saeva gokaraha. A human being who identifies the body of three elements with his self, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsmen, who considers the land of birth as worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to take a bath rather than meet men of transcendental knowledge there, is to be considered like an ass or a cow. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally renovated Vrindavan Dham and advised his chief disciples Rupa and Sanatan to develop it and open it to attract the spiritual vision of the general populace. At present, there are about 5,000 temples in Vrindavan, and still our society the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is constructing a huge, magnificent temple for the worship of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, along with Radha Krishna and Guru Gauranga. Obviously, this was composed before the opening of Krishna Balaram Mandir. Since there is no prominent Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, we are attempting to construct one so that people will be attracted to Krishna Balaram or Nitai Gaura Chandra. Brajendra Nandana Jai Shachi Shuta Hilo Shai. Narottam Das Thakur says that Balaram and the son of Maharaj Nanda have advented themselves as Gaura Nitai. To propagate this fundamental principle, we are establishing a Krishna Balaram temple to broadcast to the world that worship of Gaura Nitai is the same as the worship of Krishna Balaram. Although it is very difficult to enter into the Radha Krishna pastimes, most of the devotees of Vrindavan are attracted to the Radha Krishna Leela. However, since Nitai Gaura Chandra are direct incarnations of Balaram and Krishna, we can be directly in touch with Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Those who are highly elevated in Krishna consciousness can enter into the pastimes of Radha Krishna through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayana. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a combination of Radha and Krishna. Sometimes materialists, forgetting the pastimes of Radha Krishna and Krishna Balaram, go to Vrindavan, accept the land's spiritual facilities, and engage in material activity. This is against the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Prakrita Sahajiyas proclaim themselves Rajavasis or Dhamavasis, but they are mainly engaged in sense gratification. Thus they become more and more implicated in the materialistic way of life. Those who are pure devotees in Krishna consciousness condemn their activities. The eternal Vrajavasis like Swarup Damodar did not even come to Vrindavan Dham. Sri Pundarika Vidya Nidhi Sri Haridasa Thakur, Sri Vasa Pandit, Shivananda Singh, Sri Ramananda Rai, Sri Shikhi Mahiti, Sri Madhavi Devi and Sri Gadadha Pandita Goswami never visited Vrindavan Dhamma. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that we have no authorized documents stating that these exalted personalities visited Vrindavan. Nevertheless, we find many non-devotees, Mayavadi sannyasis, Prakriti Sahajiyas, fruitive workers, mental speculators, and many others with material motives going to Vrindavan to live. Many of these people go there to solve their economic problems by becoming beggars. Although anyone living in Vrindavan somehow or other is benefited, the real Vrindavan is appreciated only by a pure devotee. As stated in the Brahma Sanghita, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, when one has purified eyes, he can see that Sri Vrindavan and the original Goloka Vrindavan planet. He can see that Sri Vrindavan and the original Goloka Vrindavan planet in the spiritual sky are identical. Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Sri Bhagavan Das Babaji Maharaj, and Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and later Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur of Calcutta, always engaged in Nama Bhajan, and certainly did not live anywhere but Vrindavan. Presently, the members of the Hare Krishna movement throughout the world live in materially opulent cities such as London, New York, Los Angeles, Paris, Moscow, Zurich, and Stockholm. However, we are satisfied with following in the footsteps of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and other Acharyas. Because we live in the temples of Radha Krishna and continuously hold Harinama Sankirtan, the chanting of Hare Krishna, we consequently live in Vrindavan and nowhere else. We are also following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by attempting to construct a temple in Vrindavan for our disciples throughout the world to visit. Srila Prabhupada quotes here from the summary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam. Bhagavan is worshipable. That Bhagavan is Vrajesha Tanaya. the son of the king of Vrindavan, namely Krishna. He's the son of Nanda Maharaj. And his place, his dham, his holy abode, is Vrindavan. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about Vrindavan in this material world and Srila Prabhupada's attempt to serve Vrindavan in this material world by establishing a Krishna Balaram temple in that place. Interestingly, it's called the Krishna, he always called it the Krishna Balaram temple, and says here that we're establishing the temple of Krishna Balaram along with Radha Krishna and Gaur-Nitai. Although presently most of the devotees who live in and around the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan seem to think that Krishna Balaram are not as important as Radha Shamasunda. They put more emphasis on Radha Shamasunda. But Prabhupada, he emphasized Krishna and Balaram. Now, he said there are already so many Radha Krishna temples. We want to emphasize the worship here of Krishna and Balaram, as they are the non-different from Gaur-Nitai, who are the lords in this Kali Yuga who will deliver us. So, for us it's important in Vrindavan to take mercy from Krishna and Balaram, because as Srila Prabhupada points out here, Radha Krishna Leela is very difficult to enter into. Vrindavan is very difficult to enter into. Vrindavan in this world, Bhoma Vrindavan, Gokul Vrindavan, is non-different from Golok Vrindavan of the spiritual world. But it's not so easy to actually appreciate that. It's relatively easy to place one's physical body in Vrindavan and to live there. Even to live there is not so easy, because the climate is very, that's one reason, the climate is very difficult. And the people are very difficult people to live among. What do you think? Yeah, you've lived there for some time. I mean, even in ordinary dealings, they can be quite obnoxious, actually, just over nothing. People are very difficult, the climate is very difficult. But nevertheless, many people go to live there because, well, one reason is that who goes to live there? Gaudiya Vaishnavas especially go to live there. People, retired people from Delhi and other parts of UP, who are pious people who want to live the rest of their lives in Vrindavan. The Nimbarka Sampradaya and Vallabh Sampradaya also give much importance to Vrindavan. Ramanuja Sampradaya also. They have a few followers there. But Gauriya's, the Gauriya influence is most prominent there. So many people go to live there considering this is the place of Krishna. They want to remember Krishna. People are at different levels of wanting to understand Krishna. People are at different levels of readiness to live an austere life. Srila Prabhupada, he told his disciples who were living in Vrindavan to daily recite the Shad Goswami Ashtakam, in which we hear about Nidrahara Vihara Kadi Vijito, that Kopina Kantashrito. They were living a very austere life, giving up eating and sleeping. They conquered over this and they only had Kopin, which I don't know how to translate into English. Usually it's translated as loincloth. Kanta, patchwork quilt. So living a very austere life in Vrindavan. Prabhupada said that our devotees living in Vrindavan, they should follow in the spirit of the six Goswamis. Dhanada Swami, who lived there for many years, told me that Prabhupada once said devotees should be ready to live on bare fruit only. You know this little It's about this size, like this. It's a cheap fruit with a hard stone in the middle. I don't know if it has any English name. In Hindi, it's called ber, is it? Yeah. Bor in Gujarati, yeah. It's not very tasty. It's a very cheap thing, but Prabhupada said you should live on that. You should be ready to live on that only. So he wanted his disciples to set an example of frugality and austerity living in Vrindavan. To revive the spiritual life of Vrindavan. When Srila Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan, and later he brought his disciples there to the Radha Damodar temple. Now if you go there to Radha Damodar temple, you see everything's all renovated, and they renovated Rupa Goswami's Samadhi. But at that time, it looked like a bomb had dropped on the place. Even when I first went there in 1975, it was just all rubble everywhere, and there's just all uneven ground, and it was just the most of Vrindavan. It was just all broken down rubble, and no one cared for anything. Even not many people from Delhi. No one cars. You'd hardly see a car ever in the whole of Vrindavan. Now the whole place is just one eternal traffic jam. So Prabhupada, by reviving Krishna consciousness in India and in Vrindavan, has brought Vrindavan and in fact the whole of India's culture back to life. Even all these bogus gurus, they're getting life from the revival of Hinduism, you could say. Because when I came to India, like I say, I first came in 1975, it was the young people, they weren't much interested. They're the older people now. The younger generation is better than the older generation, isn't it? Generally, they're more interested. The older people, if they're at all interested, it's all this Advaitava, just like, what was that professor who said, oh, Vedanta, you monism of Vivekananda? I said, forget it, I'm not going to see. He just got up and left. They think they know everything. So many times people say to us, we are Hindus, we already know everything, we don't have to hear from you like this. So, people go to live in Vrindavan, and there are many bogus people living there also, as Prabhupada mentions here, and the number of bogus people has increased as Vrindavan has become more popular, and many wealthy people from Delhi, they have their weekend apartments there, or their retirement apartments. And then you'll see some advertisements for apartments. Tapasya Kunj, 5-star air conditioning, color TV, everything. I don't know if they call it. I saw something Kunj. It wasn't Tapasya Kunj, but it was a bit different from the old idea that you should go there and live a very austere life. And still, many people go there and they want to live a very austere life, you'll find. Especially from Orissa, many young men, they come and they join the Babaji's or Govardhan. They live very austerely. Whether they get what they're searching for, that is to be seen, because it's not so easy to live in Vrindavan. Even if one, there are many stories of so many Babaji's who they're trying and trying, but you just, by however much austerity you do, you can't force Krishna to come and dance in your lap. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada gives some idea. It seems contradictory that on the one hand, everyone is advised to live in Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Mathura Vas, among the five principles. The five principal activities recommended in Krishna consciousness, they are Chadu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Mathura Vas, Shraddhai Shimurtir Shevan. Associating with devotees, that comes first. Nama Kirtan, chanting the names of Krishna, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, living in Mathura and faithfully worshipping the deity. So living in Mathura is recommended, or at least visiting the spiritual influence is such, Prabhupada notes, that anyone who comes to Vrindavan, even a materialistic person, at least, the very least, they'll start to chant the names of the Lord. And many people have had spiritually transformational experiences going there. In Salem, in South India, is Lakshmi Chand. He's helping us so much there with getting them in so many ways. That was an experience he had in Vrindavan. He went there as a pious Hindu without much knowledge of anything, but a pious Hindu. And he had a transformational experience in which he now feels that his life's mission in his old age is to help establish a temple for Krishna in Salem. So that's just one of many, 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 many examples of people who come to Vrindavan and have a transformational experience. On the other hand, we find some people who are very materialistic. Just like I was saying, there are many people from Delhi and North India who, moneyed people who go there. And of course, the foreigners are all expected to be moneyed people, although they're not all, but they must have some money to get their airfare to come from some other part of the world, although often they don't have much more. It's often thought by Indians that anyone with white skin is a walking bank branch, but it's not necessarily true. But anyway, money has flowed in, land prices have gone up, the land mafia is there, dangerous people. There are many businessmen there. And many people who go there specifically for material motives. And they are very materialistic. You'll go in certain shops in Vrindavan. I haven't been shopping there for some time, but you hear about the clothes shops, and then the merchant will ask you, "Oh, who's your guru?" And then he'll pull out you say the name of your guru, and he'll pull out the photo of your guru and said, "He also came here and bought clothes." They know all the tricks. It's unlikely that he came to buy clothes, but they know this guru, this is his photo. Okay, pull it. And devotee will think, "Oh, this shop's a tirtha. I have to buy my, this shopkeeper must be a saint. So I'll buy the clothes from him at any price, whatever price he says." And in Loi Bazaar, all the shopkeepers, they'll call out, "Prabhu, Prabhu." They learn the ISKCON terminology, so that people think, "Oh, he's a devotee, just like us." And in this way, they manage to do their business. So there are many materialistic people. There are many deviant Vaishnavas, persons who are not considered to be in the proper Vaishnava line by the strict followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many upper sampradayas. One was quite prominent at one time, the followers of Rupa Kaviraj. Now there's only a handful of them. There's the Harivamsa sampradaya, which they consider themselves to just have a direct link with Radharani. And there are so many funny things. So Vrindavan can be a very dangerous place also. You'll find so many people telling you that, "Well, you know, ISKCON's not the real thing. You have to come over to us." And they'll tell you all the faults of ISKCON, and a few more also. And then they'll say, "Well, the conclusion is you should come to us," which is not a logical conclusion. That's what the Ritvikvadis and the followers of a certain Narayan Maharaj and others, they say, "Look, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong with ISKCON, therefore you should join us." But it's not a logical conclusion. Even if the fault's in ISKCON, it doesn't mean that because I told you, you should come and join me. It doesn't mean that you are right. Because you have pointed out what's wrong, doesn't mean that you are right. It doesn't mean that such faults may not exist in their groups also. It's like, you know, "You come to us, we're perfect." Eh, forget it, no one's perfect. Who's perfect in this? We're perfect as much as we sincerely try to serve Krishna. This has gone off. Charge the battery. Yes, we should go to Vrindavan. The spiritual influence is there, but Srila Prabhupada writes here, actually Gadadhara Pandit himself says, infers that for a pure devotee, there's no need to go to Vrindavan, because wherever he is, there's Vrindavan. For one who is less than a pure devotee, it's very helpful to go to Vrindavan if he's properly guided. Otherwise, it can be very confusing, actually. Indradyumna Swami, at one time, several of his disciples were coming to be with me in India. He told me that only one condition, you take them, but if they go to Vrindavan, they can only go with you, and they remain with you, that means me, all the time. You don't let them wander around in Vrindavan. Sahotra Swami used to talk about, what was that? He said, going to Vrindavan is like going through a fish market with all these different bad smells and people calling out, come here, buy this, buy this. All the different sahajiyas with all their different ideas. Srila Prabhupada took his followers around Vrindavan, but he wasn't pleased. He didn't like it that devotees just wander off, go here and there on pilgrimage by themselves. He said that, at least I heard this when I first came to Vrindavan in 75? Actually, it was 76 I first came. That Prabhupada said, you should come to Vrindavan for 3 days or 3 years. You either come for 3 days and you just get inspired by the atmosphere, or you come for 3 years and do service. And he also said that the whole spiritual world is within the Krishna Balaram temple. So Prabhupada, he wanted devotees to come to Vrindavan, but at the same time he was quite cautious, because there were, he didn't like devotees to go off and visit different Babajis. He considered that some of his disciples, actually one of them especially, became very much contaminated, and still is at the present day. He's very offensive toward Prabhupada. He was Prabhupada's Sanskrit assistant, one of them, and by his reading he thought that he knew better than Prabhupada, and he wrote Prabhupada a letter that, you please bless me that I can find a bona fide guru. What a rascal. So the result of his leaving Prabhupada to search for a bona fide guru is that shortly after he took a plane to America and went back to his wife. So that was his spiritual realization. So it may be bewildering that on the one hand we're advised to go to Vrindavan, on the other hand we're warned, be careful now. Not everyone there is a pure devotee. It may be more confusing than other places. There are many materialistic people posing as devotees to try to divert others. Why, if Vrindavan is a spiritual place, then why are so many materialistic people there? Doesn't seem to make sense, does it? They should all become spiritualized. Well, you could say that about the whole material world. Why is anyone here? People often ask that. If we're actually all pure by nature, then what are we doing in the spiritual world? Outside of the spiritual world, what are we doing in the material world? Well, it's a misuse of our independence. And materialistic people, they see even Krishna and Krishna's land as an opportunity for them to advance their material plans. The same thing may be said. Well, why do people misinterpret Bhagavad Gita? Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, then why do people interpret it in different ways? Why? That's their rascaldom. It's just like, why did Duryodhana, he was directly in the presence of Krishna, why didn't he recognize him and surrender to him? Because he had a different mentality. He was deliberately against Krishna. So the influence of Vrindavan Dham is there, but that influence, the spiritual influence, will reach to someone who's genuinely seeking for that, who actually wants to live in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the land of service, not the land of enjoyment. The whole material world is the land of enjoyment. Even the Babajis who perform severe austerities, it may be that despite their severe austerities, they're still infected by the enjoyment mood, because they're thinking, how can I enjoy being in Krishna's pastimes, whereas the service mood is, let me do whatever is required to serve Krishna. So, it's even if we hear about Krishna and chant Hare Krishna, if we have a motive that I will enjoy it, then we remain a long way from Krishna. It's a very subtle point, because on the one hand, Krishna consciousness by its very nature is enjoyable. It's the natural dharma of the soul. It is enjoyable. It is the source of all happiness. Pratyakshava agamang dharmyam susukham kartamavyayam. Krishna consciousness is happy life. But if we think how I will be happy, if we make that our prime concern, or even any concern, then we're not in Krishna consciousness. Of course, in the beginning especially, because people have no idea of service to or surrender to Krishna, we promote, yeah, be happy. Just be happy. And a guru may tell his disciples, yeah, yeah, you do whatever, just be in Krishna consciousness as long as you're happy. Just to keep them going. But one who's more advanced, they may give them something what they don't want to do. Or they may have to undergo some difficulty. Ultimately, the jiva, he's not desireless. So he has desires, so he desires to serve Krishna, and he desires to experience the love of Krishna, which is the natural position of the jiva. But that desire to taste the prema ras, that is inextricable from, non-different from, and yet subordinate to the desire to serve Krishna and please Krishna. So it's a very subtle point that one really has to associate with devotees who are very clear about this point to get the point. Otherwise, even if one lives in Vrindavan, and one may be in many ways a serious sadhu, may appear to be like that, but because the understanding of what Krishna consciousness is, their understanding, their siddhanta, is not exactly to the point. Therefore, for all their bhajan, all their activities, they don't get the proper result. On the other hand, even one who doesn't physically live in Vrindavan can live there if he has the attitude of service. And Prabhupada, he constructed a temple in Vrindavan, but his idea, so I'm told at that time, was to have maybe not more than 20 devotees living there. He didn't have a very big project like in Mayapur. He said devotees can come and visit. A few can live there. He wanted devotees to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. By preaching the mission of Krishna consciousness all over the world, they could serve Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu famously said, Jare dekho tare koho Krishna upadesh amaragya guru hoya taro edesh. The Kurma Brahmana and many others wanted to go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The incident of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meeting the Kurma Brahmana means the Brahmana from Sri Kurma, the place of Kurma deity in what is now northeast Andhra Pradesh. That is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Brahmana wanted to go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, let me get free from this attraction to material life. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, stay here, wherever you are, whoever you meet, you instruct them about the instructions of Krishna. In this way, become a guru and deliver this land. And kabuna badibhe tomai e bishoy taranga punarapi e thai pabe monasanga. If you do this, then you won't be, if you actually do this, then you won't be disturbed by the waves of sense gratification, and you'll find me here at this place. So it may be that someone goes to Vrindavan with the idea of finding Krishna, but they don't find Krishna. We have to see what Krishna wants of us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be attained in any place by one who serves his mission. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is all over the world. Priti vite ache jata nagara digram sabata prachahoi be moana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wants Vrindavan to be established all over the world, in every town and village. He's preaching of his name. And where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, here we read that Gadadhar Pandit says, that place is Vrindavan. So we can create, no, we cannot create, but we can, by the preaching of Krishna consciousness, the atmosphere of Vrindavan can be created. The atmosphere of Vrindavan is one of service to Krishna. That's why Srila Prabhupada said that new Vrindavan is non-different from Vrindavan. So how can we say that? Because Vrindavan is the eternal abode, the place where Krishna personally appears. Even at the time of the devastation, that Vrindavan remains, Vrindavan, Navadvip, Puri, these places, they remain. They're not destroyed. They're the eternal abodes of the Lord. Whereas some land in West Virginia, in America, that some of Prabhupada's disciples who had actually left him, they went to start a farm, and then later they said, okay, Prabhupada, we want to be back with you. He said, okay, we'll call it New Vrindavan. Actually, Kirtananda and Hayagriva had left. They were thrown out. So Prabhupada said, this is non-different from Vrindavan. How is it non-different? If the attitude of service to Krishna is very strong. That's the actual meaning of Vrindavan. One can live in Vrindavan, but if you live with the prostitutes, then you're not living in Vrindavan. There's prostitution also. I mean, I've heard of it. It's not surprising where there are tourists. The holy places, actually, from what I'm told, there's more prostitutes because the men... Anyway, we didn't discuss that too much. So, it's really a matter of the association that we get. Here, Prabhupada notes, following the purport of, actually, a lot of this purport, as many of Prabhupada's purports in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, they follow those of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Anubhasha on Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada notes that, or he quotes Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as saying, he noting the names of several great devotees, Narottam Das, Srinivas Acharya, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhagavan Das Babaji, Gorkishore Das Babaji, and later Bhaktivinoda Thakur, always engaged in Nam Bhajan and certainly did not live anywhere but Vrindavan. Where's that? There's that one. There's another list of names. Pundarika Vidyanidhi Haridas Thakur. There's a whole list of names. There's no statement that any of these persons ever visited Vrindavan. But who's a real Vrajavasi? Pundarika Vidyanidhi Haridas Thakur or some panwala on the street in Vrindavan? Who's the real Vrajavasi? Even though Pundarika Vidyanidhi physically never lived in Vrindavan, his connection with Vrindavan is eternal and complete. Whereas a panwala, he's living in Vrindavan, maybe born in Vrindavan, but and anyone who is born in Vrindavan, in Mathura, or lives there, just by that fact alone, it's stated in Shastra, they are dear to Krishna. Stayed in Mathura, Mahatmya. But they cannot be considered on the same level as Pundarika Vidyanidhi, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or other such great persons. So we should always live in Vrindavan by serving Vrindavan. Either physically live there or not live there. At the present time, there is much service to do. We have to see how to serve That is our main concern. If we can serve Krishna better by living in Vrindavan, we should do so. If not, we should live wherever we are asked to live. Prabhupada said to, as far as I know, at least two of his disciples, that they should preach, and then when they're older, they can go and live in Vrindavan. He's told Bhurijan Prabhu, at least. And he's living in Vrindavan and preaching or teaching. Yeah. So, for older people, they can retire in Vrindavan or Mayapur. They're non-different. Prabhupada himself set the example. After preaching all over the world, when he exhibited the leela of poor health prior to passing away, he went to live in Vrindavan. So we can also do that. But we have to see how to serve the mission of Krishna in the best possible way. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? No, everything's clear. All right? You heard that. Better you quote something rather than just giving a statement that floated out of the sky. Many people say, we often hear this, it is often said, many people say, in Bangladesh when I was preaching there, so many people would begin the question by saying, Oneke boleje. Many people say that, and I wouldn't let them say that. I wouldn't let them go further. I wouldn't say, well, we don't care what many people say. We care what Krishna says. So, what is your statement, which is floating in the ether without any known source? Either it's Ved, which is also floating in the ether without any... That's Aparushaya, Shabda Praman. Or there's simply gossip. That's something different.
Staying in Vrindavan is dangerous because...
Staying in Vrindavan is dangerous.
Because if you stay in Holy Dham, more chances to advance.
More chance to advance in the Dham and also more chance to commit offenses, yeah. That's what I quoted, Prabhupada said. You stay 3 days and just visit and get inspiration. But if you just visit and visit and visit, then you're enjoying the Dham. You stay longer, you come and do some specific service. That's what Prabhupada said. So I was told 3 days or 3 years. There are actually many instructions Srila Prabhupada gave about Vrindavan and Mayapur orally, which haven't been collected or systematically codified. I've heard many, but even now I didn't spend much time myself there. Like in Krishna Balaram Mandir, Prabhupada said there should be one kitchen for the devotees, for the deities, for the restaurant, everything. One kitchen. Everything should come out of one kitchen. That was one instruction. For instance. Yeah. In Vrindavan, there's great opportunity to advance. Whatever devotional service we do is magnified 1,000 times. But whatever offense we make is also magnified 1,000 times. So it's like, of course, we can understand this indicative because devotional service is not a material activity. So if it's actually devotional service, then what does it mean multiplied 1,000 times? Of course, there's levels of devotional service also. But this can be understood as indicative. And again, certainly a devotee who's giving his life and soul for preaching the mission of Krishna consciousness in various parts of the world is not bereft of the result of someone living in Vrindavan. In fact, Prabhupada indicated that those who are preaching all over the world are in a better position than those who are living in Vrindavan, as he said, for their own sense gratification. They're just living there without anything in particular to do. That's a very strong statement. I take it that those who are really preaching very committedly, they can make such a statement. If we ourselves are also just like part-time preachers or not that committed to it, and then we also should be careful about belittling others. But we can practically experience that we get more Krishna conscious, that the association we get with devotees here in our ISKCON, wherever they may be, if they're properly situated, is better than like with these, you know, some people in Vrindavan who'd, you know, they kill you for 20 rupees, almost literally, or beat you, and they can do that. I've seen in Vrindavan many of the rickshaw wallahs, they're from Bangladesh, and they live there, and their idea is that, well, I have to live somewhere, so I want to live in Vrindavan, so I'll go and live there. And they cycle, they take their rickshaws around, they send money to their families, and then they just want to live in Vrindavan. Just like in Swarupganj, over the river from Mayapur, over the Jalangi, you'll find there are so many handloom weavers. Isn't it? When you cross over the river, you hear clack, 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 clack. They were all from Bangladesh, and then when they left, because of the disturbances following the British handed over the government to the Muslims. So they came, the whole community, and they thought, well, we have to live somewhere in West Bengal. All right, let's live in Navadvip, huh?